I'm Shan Rose. This is Straight From Rose, your front row seat to government, community, and all the in-between tea. Served, informed, not messy. So when it hits your timeline, you say it loud with your chest. You heard it straight from Rose. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Straight From Rose podcast. I want to thank you for listening, subscribing, sharing, and more importantly, reaching out to share so we could learn government together. We had a successful world's largest hip hop fest, Rolling Loud, here in Orlando. And I'm proud to say that sometimes you go through a little something. You may go through things that help to grow a community. And we successfully had Rolling Loud, which there was a lot of talk and chatter. You know, when you have something that's unknown, there's always something to say. People always have something to say. And we had a successful 3-day, approximately 180,000 attendees over 3 days. And it was a great event. We had minimal traffic. So shout out to our transportation, our Orlando Police Department, for working together to ensure that residents could get home, ensure that visitors can get to the events. I could say traffic was really good. You know, living in the Paramore community, typically what happens is we shuttle from downtown to Camping World Stadium. So it's always the start process. What does it look like? So we have mastered, I believe I can say it publicly, thank you to our transportation department at the City of Orlando. I believe we have mastered the routes with having mass crowds, and we'll continue to work through our issues when people bring them to our attention. But I also want to thank our Orlando Fire Department for their steadfast work in making sure that, you know, they answered any calls. We were able to address concerns. As you know, it was really, really hot, but we had a great time, great weather. And I'm proud to say, like, I advocated for something that turned out really well and look forward to 2027 and beyond. Orlando is really growing. I didn't have to say this. Downtown Orlando, we're really growing our own identity. And I want everyone to ride this wave of change together. I would say there has, and I've said it publicly before, shout out to Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer. As you know, he is the mayor of the entire city of Orlando. So there has been a lot of focus on the entire city evolving, but we are now doing super intentional downtown revamping, revitalizing, redeveloping to make it a place, when I quote, for everyone to live, work, and play, no matter how young or how old you are. That has become a thing. And I think there has been, I'd say this, I don't agree with every policy prior to my starting in June 2024, but we are evolving and I want you all to hold on. You know, as time changes, people evolve, trends evolve, and so our community has to evolve. And it takes money. And that's the key part. Like, everything with change takes money. There are some struggles, but I want you all to understand these are growing pains and we're realizing how to make things better, how to make sure we're thriving. I always tell folks, like, I want to be a 23/7, right? I don't want to be a 24/7. Some people need to sleep. But I really want, you know, for me, the downtown Orlando corridor to really continue to thrive. There's a lot of great new businesses that are coming in. I think where we are headed is a positive direction. There have been, again, before me, there were some policies that were implemented that I do believe have caused some burdens, but we are working through what that looks like. What's important is that leadership that represents downtown, I now have a focus downtown. I live downtown, right? I can walk into the CBD corridor. So for those who don't understand, downtown Orlando is really broken up into what I call in the core of downtown, east of I-4. There are three parts. You've got the Central Business District, which is Colonial to Gore Street, actually to Anderson, but to Gore Street is your Central Business District where your businesses are, your restaurants are. Then you've got the North Quarter, which is north of Colonial to Ivanhoe area. And then you've got Thornton Park, which is east of Lake Eola and everything else east. And so what has happened is your core, what we call the Downtown Entertainment District, which is we call the DEA. It's this weird space of a proper blend. What has happened through the years is, and again, this is why you look at policy and you work through policy. So let me just take you into a night into downtown so folks can understand just a little bit better. Go downtown, you go to the club, or you just go downtown, period. May have happy hour. Let's just take a Friday night. Most people get out of work 5-6 o'clock. A lot of the bars downtown, they have happy hours. Your larger establishments, they don't really open till about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I'd say this. We have all been 21 before. And so I want us to stay there. There are places in downtown that are still for your 21 and up. And then we are evolving where your 30 to 40 are enjoying themselves. And then you get your place in your space where there still is some opportunity, 40 to 45, 50. But I want to make it clear, your average 50-year-old, I don't care where they are, most 50-year-olds are gone by midnight in any downtown. And it creates the opportunity in space, which is where the city of Orlando has kind of evolved to what is called the after midnight license. You ultimately, your younger crowd, so you're 35 and under, are typically partying beyond midnight. Where downtown is kind of struggling is everybody's, the last set of people can walk into your door at 2 o'clock. Last call is 2:15, and then everybody gets pushed out at 2:30. So unfortunately, what you have are these 5 to 7 foot sidewalks where you've got thousands of people that you're pushing out at one time. So what people are seeing, unfortunately, in a lot of these videos are people getting pushed out. Now think about who bought a drink at 2:15, had to guzzle the drink down at 2:15, and then got pushed out into the street. So yes, you get, in my opinion, you get chaos. You're pushing into these small sidewalks. What we are doing and we're evolving to is we are moving Orange Avenue back into a two-way street, which will include larger sidewalks, which means when you push those thousands of people, there's more room and there's more space. So what may seem as chaotic in a lot of these videos, you got to understand, you push thousands of people out on the sidewalk and say, hey, go home. Well, what you think is going to happen? You're going to get a lot of bumping, pushing, shoving. You get to the point where, you know, how many times can somebody bump you in one night? You say, okay, enough is enough. And so I think that, you know, it's this, we're in this transitional space, and I want you all to hold on. Downtown is a very safe place. And let me repeat that. Downtown Orlando is a very safe place. As a city commissioner, as a Paramore resident, as a District 5 resident, as a downtown resident, on any given night, I can walk downtown and I feel safe by myself. Not specifically going with anyone else. I can walk the downtown streets. It's a very safe place. What is happening and what I think, unfortunately, is we live in a society where negative news travels faster than positive news. And that's really where we are, where people aren't, you know, it's easier for you to share something negative than it is share something positive. And I want to encourage, you know, listeners today, right? Start sharing more positivity so we can start flooding social media with more positivity than negativity. every Friday, I do Feature Friday, where I highlight the businesses that are in the downtown and District 5, throughout District 5. Start sharing them. Start letting folks know what is available. The opportunities are there. You know, we have a jewelry store in downtown. We've got shoe stores in downtown. The things that do exist, we've got to do a better job. When people say, like, you know, I read a comment, what is there to do downtown? I mean, we've got a whole Lake Eola. We've got festivals that happen at Lake. We have a Sunday farmers market at Lake Eola. We've got the new Art Squared on the corner of Robinson and Orange Avenue. We've got a couple more pocket parks that we're opening. But there's always something to do. We've got an art factory in downtown. Like, we have our own, like, the downtown arts district. You can go and visit and check out artwork, buy artwork. There's always events and activities happening. I'm going to say this. If you don't follow SHANROSE, you're missing out. So I would encourage you, like, there's always activities, there's always events, there's always something happening to keep our community going, to keep growing the businesses that exist. So I want us to work together to share the positivity that happens in downtown, in the district. There's a lot of great things happening. There's a lot of great things coming. And I want us to realize that we're going to grow together. You know, I say this, that I really feel like we're going into a world-class sports and music city. And as you evolve, and I think as you're creating your own identity, there will be growing pains. And that's what we're going through right now, right? You know, I just parked on Magnolia. Magnolia Avenue is changing. It's now going to be two-way street. Before, it was a one-way street. So we're going through the changes. We're realizing that we've got to create a true place for everyone to live, work, and play. And that's where we are. So hold on with us as we evolve and we change. Shout out to Rolling Loud for choosing Orlando, having a great, successful event. It was amazing. And I look forward to 2027 and beyond. You know, 2027 is going to be a big year in the city of Orlando. We got the Jaguars coming. You know, we'll start preparing for the Olympics in 2028. There are so many sports activities that are coming to town that y'all be prepared. So kind of, I just mentioned it a little bit, kind of now getting into policy. And when people hear the word policy, what does policy mean in the city level? Policy is the creation of rules and regulations to be able to grow. It's typically is economically growing, whether, you know, we create the opportunity for new businesses, you know, we create a policy on how do we bring those businesses in. So policy on the city level is typically something goes good or something goes bad. You do one of the two. And then you say, okay, how could we have made this better? And what could we have done differently? And then we create something, you know, staff does research. We look at other cities. You know, we kind of look at cities good and bad. Well, what did they do and how is it going wrong? And what did this city do that's going really well? And then we create something. So, for example, I would say a simple one is block parties. So, you know, sometimes in communities, so for those who don't know, if you are having an event in the city of Orlando, you are not supposed to block streets off. If you are going to have more than 100 people gathering, you have to pull an 18A permit. So if you having your birthday party on your street and you know more than 100 people are going to show up, in the city of Orlando, technically, you're supposed to pull a permit. Why do we pull permits? Because it's important to make sure that your neighbors know to expect an influx so they don't just see these cars randomly parked, one. Two is so that our police department ensures that, you know, they're aware of the event, that there's safe way in and out for law enforcement if they have to respond, and firefighters if they have to respond. And then our transportation to kind of make sure that there's an easy flow for people to get in and out. And so a policy is created so that we create surefire ways to ensure things go smoothly when you're having the event. And so it's policies like that, whatever those policies may look like. And they include making sure, you've talked to neighbors on the street. How many houses do you have on your street? Did you talk to your neighbors on your street? Are they in support of you having this? And then you kind of go through that process where, how are you going to, typically we'll do cleanup, making sure there's a process for you cleaning up. What does cleaning up look like, et cetera? So that's ultimately what, I would say, one example of policy. So, you hold an event and you go, you make evolutions to it. What's a good, what's good, what's bad, ensuring that if you have something that's bad, if we have issues as a city, we come back and we address them, and we may adjust the policy. We may say, hey, we need to change this and make this, different. So, those are I would say that's a sample of a policy and how it's actually created. And so my responsibility as the commissioner is to kind of analyze it, and you kind of say, what's the good, what's the bad, and how do we make it better? Our goal as government is not to make things difficult. Our goal is to make sure that everyone is safe within our community. Literally, that is our ultimate responsibility, to ensure we have safe neighborhoods. And so there's my responsibility when we're creating policy is to say, okay, who does this impact? Is this process seamless? Can, you go back to the concept of like third grade reading level. Can a third grader complete this application or go through this process without it being super technical? And that's kind of how you build from there. And, you kind of go through that and you build and you make changes, you adapt, et cetera. I think issues that influence sometimes that are outside of my control is you really don't know how something's going to turn out. On any given day, anything can happen, good or bad. I would take example Rolling Loud. Like there were internal policies that were put in place on how residents would access their community. So we gave out tags and said, here, put this in your window if you need to get home. And, if you go anywhere and you get stopped, you're trying to get in, you show the badge, the pass. We created internal policy that helped. And something that may be outside of the control is if someone missteps and says and provides us a plan and says, this is what I'm going to do, and then do something totally different. So, for example, if you say you're only going to have 100 people and 500 people showed up, that's kind of out of my control. And it's one of those, we created a policy, you just didn't know how many people were going to show up. So you kind of, we make adjustments, right? Hey, you've exceeded how many we thought. Okay, let's make sure we still have a clear path. And the biggest thing is making sure we have a clear path that law enforcement can come and first responder, our firefighters, paramedics, they're able to get in and out of the community. So, that's policy. Policy is what's happening around us. How do we make sure that the next person coming behind can positively and easily function through? Concerns, the community and both residents and businesses are the ones who give the input on how policy is created. And you ultimately, we don't live in every part of the city. So, I live in Paramore, where if another District 5 resident lives in Metro West, how they see things and their perception of how policy, when I'm just driving through, because I don't live here, this isn't my day to day, how they may see things need to be better, which is why we typically have community meetings. When we're looking at creating new policies and making changes to policies, we'll have community meetings. For example, we've had this issue with bikes and scooters, and we've had it for a really long time. It didn't just start. And what's the best way to govern? We have community meetings. We tell the community, hey, come and give your input. And that's ultimately based on the comments, the concerns, the feedback, input, we take that and we say, okay, how can we create policy that includes the community? And so that's ultimately how the community's input. We also, when we're creating ordinances, which are our laws, so to speak, so within a city, an ordinance is a law. But what we have to do by policy is we have to advertise. So we put in the newspaper in Orlando Sentinel, we let the community know, hey, we are going to be creating this new policy. You can come to city council or you can reach out to us before city council and you can tell us how to evolve policy. We will typically do news stories and interviews before we're changing the policy so that folks know, hey, this policy is being changed. And we typically have two read-ins for an ordinance change and for policy change. So we give more than enough time. I would say shout out to the news outlets locally because they pick up on whether it's a good or bad story. They pick up on a lot of our ordinance changes to kind of educate the community. And so when we're creating and reviewing policies, it's shaped and molded. Ultimately, staff molds it, typically the elected. So if I have something I want to change, I will say, I want us to change this. And I'll tell staff how I see, how I envision it. And then I'll typically ask them, hey, go look at other cities and see what other cities are doing. And let's kind of mirror, like, how can we mirror it? So that's how it typically will happen. So, you know, the mayor and the commissioners, we kind of look at things. And sometimes it's vice versa. Sometimes it's our staff, because, again, everybody lives in different parts of the city and they travel in different parts. So we may have an employee who lives in Baldwin Park who says, hey, we should be doing this a little bit different. And, you know, so it's a joint venture and a joint effort. Ultimately, the shaping and reviewing, you know, as the electeds, we say, hey, this is what we would like to see differently. Typically, again, we involve the community. We have community meetings. For example, if a developer comes in and they're building on their land, no matter what they're building on their land, there has to be a community meeting so that the community can kind of say, hey, we like this building. Can you put, you know, a gym for this new apartment complex? Or we would like to see a coffee shop. And so those are how, you know, we create policies and how things are molded and shaped and reviewed. A recent decision that was made and how it was made, that's a tough one. We make new policy changes all the time. And, you know, sometimes they're like official policies where they're like have to be voted on. And then sometimes they're internal policies. I would say, I mean, something recent that, so I sit on the Orange County Water Safety Task Force. And so we come together and we look at, and we fight, we work together and advocate for ways that things can get better. And so the city of Orlando, we have multiple pools that are 365. Obviously, when it gets super cold, we don't open. But we have heated pools and we have pools that are open more than just your summer. Typically, city of Orlando pools are just open for the summer. So I know that Medicaid and Healthy Kids, Florida Kid Care, sorry. I know that their clients get swim vouchers. So I turned to staff and I said, hey, staff, we should be, as a city of Orlando, we should be accepting those vouchers. And so the decision was made. Okay, well, what does the process and what does the process look like? And we literally went and we applied. We went through the application process. We met with all the proper individuals. And now we are able at the city of Orlando to receive swim vouchers. And so that's how a decision is made. Ultimately, it's how do you meet people where they are? How do you meet the needs of the community? And then you kind of create, you kind of go out and you say, okay, can we do this? How can we do this? And what's the proper way to do it? So, you know, we look at a lot of different things. The biggest thing is, do we have staff to balance and make a program function is the biggest thing. And then you look at, can we afford it? And so for us, you know, we already have swimming pools that are open, so we have the staffing to be able to do the lessons. I'm just using that as one example. And then, you know, people, now the biggest thing is people might ask, well, why would, you know, swim lessons? Some people may say, well, it's not the government's responsibility. Well, we're offering swim lessons already. why not be able to help those and encourage our 0 to 4 year old community members to learn how to swim? It's important, as you know, and if you don't know, a lot of apartment complexes are either built with pools in them or they're built with some kind of retention pond. And so ensuring that our kids and our community know how to swim is important. So that's a, you know, a real life decision that was made, you know, went through the process with staff. They did the application. And again, sometimes it's educating. Some people don't know things that exist. And sometimes when people know that things exist, they may not feel empowered, or they may not have, you know, sometimes some people may not always be comfortable in their department speaking up about new opportunities and new adventures. So that was something that was like a real life decision. And I felt that it was important for, you know, us to move forward and to be able to do. And so I would say one of the biggest things and most important is reaching out to your local government when you have concerns, so that we can work through addressing them. We can work together to make better communities. And I want to say I'm here for you guys. Like, whatever, whether you're a business, you're a resident, making sure that your quality of life is positively impacted is what's important to me. As you know, I typically take a question, and one of the questions that I got recently while I was out, someone said, do our opinions actually make a difference in decisions? And I would say yes. When I first got elected, downtown Orlando, Orange Avenue had been shutting down every Friday, Saturday evening, and people couldn't flow through Orange Avenue. And then Sunday, we had, it was like, it was a lot of, it was very expensive on a Sunday, and Sundays aren't that busy. And so I came in and I say, how do I create a better downtown so that everyone can enjoy it? And so I, you know, I listened. I took time to listen to the business owners, listen to residents, listen to employees that work at some of these establishments, and say, you know, I'm going to do what you guys need for me to do. What do you think would be best? And so things do not happen overnight in any government. Typically they don't, should I say. I don't know, because DC, some stuff be happening overnight. But things don't happen quickly. There are a lot of changes. And so what I want folks to understand is every opinion that you give, I consider it. And I find ways to incorporate so that your voices are heard, your feelings are validated, and we're growing together. So continue to share what you think could be better in our community, what you want to see me doing more of. Reach out to your local elected official and become more involved. You don't have to, let me say this, you don't have to attack. And I think that's one of the, I'm going to leave that right there. We are better together. You don't have to attack your elected official. We are all human beings. We, you know, the saying is we all put our pants on the same way, one leg at a time. And with that, know that together we can create better communities for all of us to live, work, and play for generations to come. I want to see the best for the city of Orlando, downtown Orlando, and especially in District 5. So continue to work, reach out to my office, continue to share your opinions, and we'll continue to create policies that positively impact. This is Shan Rose. Thank you for listening to Straight From Rose podcast, and I will hear from you soon.